Well, welcome all you wiretappers. I'm here in Kansas City in my studio, Gangland Wire. It's a very stormy day. We had a hell of a storm last night. I had to go out in the balcony and pick everything up this morning and blew plants over. It was crazy last night here in the middle of a Midwestern summer. But speaking of the Midwest, I have, as you can see on your screen, I have James Cosenza of the Chicago Mob Trials YouTube page. So I'm saying that slow so you can write that down. James Cosenza, C-O-S-Z-E-N-A, right?
Cosenza, yes.
Cosenza, and it's the Chicago Mob Trials YouTube page. Welcome, Jim. I really am happy to have you back on here.
Pleasure to be here, Gary. Good to see you.
Tell the guys a little bit about your YouTube page, what they're going to see on it.
Okay, my YouTube channel is Chicago Mob Trials by Jay Cosenza. And basically, it's an insight, a perspective from a court buff's view. Back in the 90s to the early 2000s, I attended 25 plus major federal trials downtown Chicago. So my little YouTube stories are basically an insight from what it was like being an observer at some of these large trials. So basically, I'm just talking about all the major federal trials that I went to. And one thing I wanted to point out is all these trials are open to the public. Any one of us can go at any time. And I highly recommend if there is a trial in your area, in your city, by all means, go check it out. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I wish I'd have done a bunch of ours back in the day, but I don't know. I just, you know, you just forget about it. You don't think about it. And all of a sudden it's going and it's here and it's gone. I could have attended all those skim trials. That would have been cool. But
oh, God, you know, yeah.
Hindsight's 20/20, as they say. So James has been on here before, and we've talked about the Family Secrets trial and some of the Good Ship Lollipop trial, the Bobby Salerno and some other trials. And he goes into even more detail on his YouTube channel. So check that out, guys, and like and subscribe his channel too. We, you know, one boat and a rising tide needs to help the other boat rise at the same time. And so we all help each other and bringing this mob history to you guys. So we are, and that's one thing I like about James, is just straight history. You know, there's no spin on it. There's no, you know, blaming this guy or blaming that guy. This is what happened at the trial, just like you had been at the trial. So we're going to talk about a kind of a side story from the Family Secrets trial, which was really almost ended the Chicago outfit. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. Yep.
They took down the Chinatown crew and this Frank Calabrese. They called it the Family Secrets trial, which I think you maybe mentioned or pointed this out to me, because their two main witnesses were Nick Calabrese, Frank Calabrese Jr., against their brother and dad, Frank Calabrese Sr. So Family Secrets came rolling out, didn't they?
Yep.
And now Frank Calabrese Jr.'s wife, Lisa Swan, has a book out there, too. I did an interview with her. Check that out, and you can get the book. I think I called it Diary of a Mob Wife, but it's in there, Lisa Swan, S-W-A-N. So we're going to do a
side. Didn't Cam help her with that?
Yeah, Cam, my guy that's done a bunch of shows with me, Camulus Robinson, and done some other bunch of Chicago stuff, he co-wrote that with her. He's the writer. I mean, she's a good gal, and I remember interviewing her. She's really nice. But she's not the writer, but Cam is a writer. He can write. So he co-wrote that with her.
Look forward to that.
So let's talk about this side story to the Family Secrets trial, which was the extortion of a guy named Victor Cacciatore. Tell us how that went down.
Okay. Well, at the legendary Family Secrets trial, there was close to 200 witnesses. And one witness that took the stand, I'll never forget. He was not only a witness, but he was also a victim of an extortion plot. This gentleman's name was Victor Cacciatore. He's probably in his late 70s, early 80s. He was very well-dressed, an older gentleman. He had a nice tan. And you could just tell by his aura, he was a wealthy man, just by the way he carried himself. So Victor Cacciatore got on the stand. And he basically told the story how he was part of an extortion scam by the Chinatown crew or the 26th Street crew. Victor Catch's story, he told the story how he came to this country like a lot of immigrants. He couldn't even speak English. He had maybe 50 cents to his name. But Victor Cacciatore, he went to school, he studied, and he worked. He eventually bought his first building in Chicago, and then from there became a very successful realtor in Chicago. If you're on 290 Expressway going into the Chicago Loop, right before you get to State Street, you'll see his building, and at night it's lit up in bright neon letters, Cacciatore Real Estate. Most people in Chicago, we've heard of Victor Cacciatore because we've, you know, seen his buildings and his signs all over. So Victor Cacciatore, he eventually became very successful in the real estate business here in Chicago. And at the time, he lived in Bridgeport. Bridgeport is an old Italian patch, a very prominent neighborhood near White Sox Park, just south of downtown Chicago. A lot of the Chicago Outfit guys grew up there. Also, Mayor Daley and his son are born and raised in Bridgeport, as well as many Chicago policemen, judges, politicians. So it's a very popular, very powerful neighborhood.
I bet they didn't have any problem getting the snow removed in the wintertime in that neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of perks and favors living in that neighborhood.
Exactly. Now,
Victor Cacciatore was just one man that lived in that neighborhood. Also, boss of the Chinatown crew, or the 26th Street crew, Angela LaPetria lived in that neighborhood as well. Now, I'm going to talk about Victor Cacciatore's testimony as well as Nick Calabrese's testimony. Nick Calabrese testified that Angela LaPetria, his boss of the 26th Street crew, he despised Victor Cacciatore. When Mitch Mars asked Nick why, he said he didn't know his guests. Angela LaPetria is probably jealous of Victor Cacciatore. Victor Cacciatore testified he was in his office working. Two men came to see him. They showed up unannounced. Victor Cacciatore testified that he thought they were salesmen. So he told his secretary to send them away. She sent them away. A couple weeks later, the same two guys, Nick Calabrese and his partner in crime, Ronnie Jarrett, an associate of the 26th Street crew, they went back to Victor Cacciatore's office. This time they actually were able to sit down with him. And they basically sat him down and demanded I don't remember the dollar amount, but it was like $200,000-$300,000. They wanted a large amount of money from him, or to put it bluntly, he was going to have some problems. Now, Victor Cacciatore was an honest businessman. He had nothing to do with the Chicago Outfit. He made his fortune legally in real estate. So Victor Cacciatore, after these guys left, he testified he didn't really do anything. He didn't really know what to do. So fast forward a few weeks, Nick Calabrese, one of the main witnesses at the Family Secrets trial, he testified to participating in 14 murders. He testified that one day he took some dead rats, some dead mice, and made these little nooses. And he tied the rope nooses around the dead rats and dead mice and hung them from Victor Cacciatore's car antenna. Okay. Victor Cacciatore testified that he was leaving office one day and he saw these dead mice and dead rats with these little nooses on his car. He didn't know what to think of it. He thought maybe it was some kids, some punks playing a sick joke. Victor Cacciatore also spoke in very broken English. You could tell he was definitely from the old country. So fast forward a couple weeks later, Nick Calabrese testified. He cut off a small puppy's head.
Ooh.
He beheaded a small dog and put that head on Victor Cacciatore's hood of his car. Victor Cacciatore was going to work one day and he saw a dead puppy's head. He testified he was startled. He was disgusted. And again, he had no idea what is this? Why are they doing this? Nick Calabrese testified that one day Victor Cacciatore went to start his car and Nick showed on the witness stand how he held the shotgun. He held it on an angle because he didn't want to kill Victor Cacciatore, but he wanted to scare him. So as soon as Victor Cacciatore started the car, Nick Calabrese blew out his back window. This scared the bejesus out of Victor Cacciatore. He thought maybe his car blew up. He didn't know what to think. Well, now after the dead mice, after the puppy's head, and now blowing out the shotgun window, now they got Victor Cacciatore's attention. He was scared. He was nervous. He didn't know what to do. So he testified that the only man who could help him was boss of the 26th Street crew, Angelo LaPetria. So Victor Cacciatore went to Angelo LaPetria's social club and explained to him exactly what happened, that two men came there demanding a couple hundred thousand dollars. They threatened him. He told Angelo LaPetria about the dead mice, the dead rats, where they were hung on his antenna by nooses. He testified about finding a puppy's head on the roof of his car. And he told Angelo LaPetria about somebody blowing out his shotgun, blowing out his back window. Angelo LaPetria didn't say one word. He just listened. When Victor Cacciatore was finished, Angelo LaPetria said, "I'll get back to you. Give me a few weeks. I'll get back to you." Nick Calabrese testified that Angelo LaPetria deliberately made him wait almost a month. So this whole time, poor Victor Cacciatore didn't know what was happening next. He didn't know if these guys were coming back, but he was mostly concerned about his family. He thought his family could get hurt. Finally, about a month later, after making Victor Cacciatore wait, Angelo LaPetria called him back to the club. He sat him down and he told him, "You got a serious problem. These are very dangerous men. If you don't pay them the money, they will hurt you and most likely your family." So Victor Cacciatore kind of pleaded and begged Angelo for help. Angelo LaPetria held up two fingers. And what that meant was, "You have to pay me $2 million for this problem to go away." Hmm. So Victor Cacciatore somewhat was glad to pay Angelo for protection, for his problems to go away, for nobody to harass him. What Victor Cacciatore did not know at that time, and he found out years later, Angelo LaPetria was the one behind the extortion the entire time. He's the one that sent Nick Calabrese in there to blow out the back window, scare him with the puppy's head and the nooses. After that, Mitch Mars, the late Mitch Mars, the main prosecutor in the Family Secrets trial, he asked Nick Calabrese, "How much did you get for tying nooses around the dead rats, the dead mice, and putting them on the antenna of the car? How much did you get for cutting off that little puppy's head? How much did Angelo LaPetria pay you for shooting out his back window?" Nick Calabrese says, in a very low monotone voice, he said, "I got nothing. I got paid nothing." And the whole courtroom was kind of shocked by this. Like, "You didn't get paid anything?" Mitch Mars says, "Yeah, I didn't get paid nothing. I was given an order and I follow orders just like the army." So that's my short story for today, Gary, how Victor Cacciatore was extorted $2 million by Angelo LaPetria and the 26th Street crew.
Wow. I tell you what, that's old school. I mean, that harkens back to the old Black Hand days when a Sicilian shopkeeper would get a successful business going, or a restaurant, a spaghetti joint, as they used to call them. And the Black Handers would come in and threaten to kidnap their kids, or, you know, any kind of all kinds of things that, that they would do to him. I know we had a lady killed in about 1915, I think, who had a real successful store and was killed by a shotgun and by the Black Hand because she wouldn't pay the extortion. I mean, that's old school. That Angelo La Pietra is that's an old school, mean, evil dude there.
I remember Frank Calabrese testified, nobody, none of the outfit guys or associates, none of them liked being anywhere near Angelo La Pietra. And Frank Calabrese testified he was the only one that had the balls to look Angelo in the eyes. But all the other outfit guys didn't like being around this man. I guess he was pretty nasty.
He must have been. And it kind of now it makes sense that Jerry Scalise and that Art Racial and some third dude, I can't remember his name, were trying to rob La Pietra's widow. They were in the process of breaking into her house, and the FBI had them wired or bugged in some manner, and they were waiting for them to show up. And as soon as they started to go in the house, they took them off. But I always wondered, you know, how can you violate a guy who had been a crew, the leader of the Chinatown crew, the 26th Street crew? How could you rob his widow? But I think I see now why he was open game. He was fair game after he died.
On your next trip to Chicago, that's one place I definitely want to take you to. It's right there in Bridgeport, right across from White Sox Park. You could see Angelo La Pietra's compound. Uh-huh. And right across the street is the Italian-American Social Club. So we could hit two birds with one stone.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Yeah, I look forward to that. I'll get up there as soon as I can. Let it cool down a little bit. It's been hotter than hell down here. I don't know about up there, but I kind of like to ride the motorcycle back up. But riding a motorcycle in downtown Chicago or on the streets is hard. It's like work. So much traffic, and they go so fast. It was just it scared the heck out of me. You know, we had a similar extortion. I mean, these mob guys, whatever city they're in, they do this. They find a successful businessman that's really done it on his own. It's not part of the establishment. It's not part of the white collar circuit, the silk stocking circuit that you know, his family had money. They find these guys that came up the hard way and have done well, and then they go after them. We had a guy that was he was kind of a scammer, and they really like guys that have been bordering on the edge too. Now, Cacciatore wasn't, but we had a guy that was kind of a used car salesman, did really well, bought a strip club, and then one of our mob bosses, Cork Savella, sent a couple of his henchmen over to put a stick of dynamite under his car and just, you know, let it go off while the guy was inside his club. And then he came back around and he said, well, you know, you've got some trouble with some young guys. I can take care of them for you. I can make sure they don't bother you anymore. But, you know, you're going to have to take me in as kind of a silent partner on this strip club. And which he did, you know, I mean, he didn't have any choice. Now, he got lucky. Cork got a lot of trouble after that because of the skim and from Las Vegas and caught cases and ended up in the penitentiary. So he was able to move out from under him pretty quick. But that's, you know, typical. We had another guy named Johnny Francovilla. He would send a guy. He had a guy he would send out to some businessman he knew's porch and at the middle of the night and just throw a stick of dynamite on it. And then he'd come back around a day or two later and say, hey, I hear you had trouble, had a stick of dynamite, went off in your house. Let me check this out for you. And then he'd take like $5,000 and he'd handle the problem for him. So that's a pretty common thing.
And the victim thinks he's actually getting help.
Yeah, exactly. They don't know. They don't understand.
It reminds me of a very similar story, just what you said. At the Family Secrets trial, there's a well-known pizza place in Chicago called, I think it's called Connie's Pizza. They've got them all over, and the owner was good friends with Frank Calabrese Sr., right? So Frank Calabrese Sr. sent a couple of his guys to put the squeeze on the owner of Connie's Pizza. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the owner of Connie's Pizza went to his good friend, Frank Calabrese, for help.
There you go. Yep, there you go.
He had no idea until years later that Frank Calabrese was actually behind the extortion.
Yeah, it's that's a cold world. That is a brutal, cold world in which nobody can trust anybody. You better steer clear away from them. I wonder how far they would have carried that with Victor Cacciatore if La Pietra hated him so much. He was so jealous, I'm sure. Nick Calabrese had that pegged right. He was just jealous of him. Here's a guy that came from the old country and made it, really made it legitimately. Boy, I wonder how far he would have gone with that if he would have, because you don't want to kill the golden goose that lays a golden egg. Right. They might get out of hand. Somebody might make a mistake with that shotgun next time. You don't.
Oh God, yeah.
Don't need that in your life. That's for sure. That's why somebody's asked me, well, you ought to like go into business with one of these mob guys in your podcast, you know, go in partnership. I said, I'm not doing a partnership with a mob guy because, you know, and there's a lot of good guys out there. They have their own business and they have it going. I don't need that kind of aggravation because they don't play by my rules. I play by the rules of the courts of the land. You know, you did not play by my rules. They weren't raised like that. I'm not saying that they would extort you today or cheat you today, but I don't need that. I don't need that at all. Too bad that Nick Calabrese had gone into partnership with you before he died up there in Chicago.
You know, you just remember, did you know Judge Zagel passed away?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was appointed by Ronald Reagan back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Presided over 1,000 trials, but he presided at the Family Secrets trial as well as the Blagojevich trial. But the reason I bring him up, a lot of the main players at the Family Secrets trial, Joey Lombardo, Frank Calabrese, Mitch Mars, a lot of these guys have all passed away.
Yeah. They're just about the Family Secrets deal, except for a few witnesses that were out there. They're about gone.
Yeah. And we were all hoping. We were all hoping there was going to be a Family Secrets 2, a part 2, but it never happened.
Yeah. So I don't even know about any of the agents. I've never actually seen an agent that was really intimately involved with that being interviewed. And I asked around about them, and I'm not getting any names that I can find to interview.
That would be an excellent interview if you could interview one or two of the agents, or maybe even a guy like Marcus Funk or John Scully. These were part of the prosecution team. They could really go into greater detail than me or anybody else. But if you could get an agent or a prosecutor, I could send you a couple names, but I wouldn't know how to contact them. But
all right,
that would be a great guest for you.
Yeah, send me, especially the agents. I've heard of that Marcus Funk, and I realized he was one of the assistant prosecutors. I need to make myself a note on that one.
And then there's a guy, John Scully. I mean, there's a whole team. John Scully, Gary Shapiro. Now, your good friend, Paul Whitcomb. How do you say his name?
Paul Whitcomb. Yeah.
Well, Paul, I didn't know Paul at the time, but he went to the Gus Alex trial. Yeah. He went to the Family Secrets trial, but I just didn't know the man. But him and I talked a little bit, but he knows a lot of these prosecutors and agents.
Okay.
He may be one to lean on for that.
Yeah, he might be a guy that would be a good contact.
But the guys I'm talking about, they haven't done any YouTube interviews yet.
No, they haven't. I know. I haven't seen any interviews anywhere.
Another good one for you, Gary, who's very he's super busy, but he's very very friendly and sociable, is Joe Lopez, Joe the Shark.
Oh yeah, you know, I interviewed him one time. He's so
busy. You did?
Yeah, a long time ago. It was about a couple of mob associates that had of course he does cocaine, he does narcotics work primarily. Joe has the Shark. And I did get him interviewed at the start of COVID. He wasn't doing very much, and so I was able to get him to squeeze in. I think it's been 3 years since I've talked to him. Yeah, he was a good guy. He's a good storyteller and everything.
So yeah, he would be a great guest because I always tease him, like, how did you control Frank Calabrese in the courtroom? How could you?
Really?
He told me that during the Sam Carlisi trial, Anthony the Hatch Chiaramonte, that he was worse than Frank Calabrese as far as trying to control him. So Joe has all kinds of good stories.
Yeah, he would. I don't know. Maybe I have to make another run on him. Like I said, even then, he was so busy. I just had to keep pushing to get him to squeeze some time in. And finally he did. But he was a good one.
Another guy that passed away from the Family Secrets trial. This is old news. This guy was a Vietnam veteran. He played for the NHL. Rick Halperin. He was Joey Lombardo's lawyer.
Oh, yeah. Rick Halperin. Yeah.
And after the trial, never forget, Joey was pounding his cane on the floor, yelling at Rick Halperin. A lot of these guys, they blame the lawyers. Yeah. But unfortunately, Rick Halperin, he had some, I think, some severe back pain, back issues. And unfortunately, he killed himself.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Yeah, I
did. There's a lot of the main players at the Family Secrets trial. A lot of them have passed away.
That's it. They're about gone. All right, James Cosenza, I really appreciate you coming on and telling us that little story. Well, guys, you know I like to ride motorcycles, so don't forget to look out for motorcycles when you're out there, especially if you're in Chicago, and I go to Chicago. I was about run down several times up there. It's crazy. If you have a problem with PTSD and you've been in the service, go to the VA website and get that hotline. And if you have a problem with drugs or alcohol, you need to see our friend Anthony Ruggiano, a Real Deal Gambino member who is a treatment center counselor, I believe, down in Florida. He's got the hotline to get hold of him or his facility on his website, anthonyruggiano.com. So thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. And don't forget to like and subscribe if you think of it, and share this with your friends or on your social media. And come back and listen to some more good mob stories. Thanks a lot. We'll be in touch. Thanks, Gary. All right. Bye.
Good seeing you, man. Thank you.
All right.